You tell us, oh God, that our hearts and lives are like soil. And the Word of God is planted by the Spirit of God in the soil of our hearts. And where it is hard, the seed cannot germinate. But, oh Father, You have sent Your Spirit as the Spirit of truth to break up the fallow ground. So precious, precious God, in Jesus' name I pray that Your kingdom would come on earth as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus, I ask that You would bless this church as we seek to testify to the name of Christ. Your Word tells us, Father, that apart from Jesus Christ and His Spirit, we can do absolutely nothing. But in Christ, we can do all things. And so, O God, as we enter this special time of the year, I pray for the anointing of Your Holy Spirit upon all we do in the name of Christ. All that we do, Father, as we seek to lift Him up, as we seek to give Him glory, as we seek to give him praise. Where, Father, our actions are not in conformity with Your Word, Father, I ask that You hinder those actions. But I ask that You loose Your Spirit in those places, Father, where we walk with God in Christ. I ask that You heal. In the name of Jesus, there are many sick among us, O God. There are many that are grieving. And Father, particularly at the holiday seasons, Father, that grief is the heaviest of any time of the year. And in Jesus' name, I pray You would surround our grieving with shoulders to cry on, with shoulders to weep upon. And I bless Your name today. I sing hallelujahs to You, O God. I glorify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. For You are good and You are faithful and You are precious. Now come, Spirit. In Jesus' name. His holy name, we offer this prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. All God's people said, Amen. Okay. Open your Bibles to the first chapter of Acts. Okay, last week, I introduced last week's sermon as the last of the sermons that I was going to give on the Holy Spirit. Well, I changed my mind. You know, when you just, a preacher, a pastor, when God is just blessing his heart, as God has blessed my heart, and when a few months ago now, we started with a series on Jesus Christ. And exalting Jesus Christ and lifting Christ up. And God just blessed my heart as we just sort of went through passage after passage as we saw Christ as the bread of life, as living water, as just the food of God for humanity. And so we saw Christ in that way, and it just was a blessing to me. And then we moved from Christ's parting words almost as He says to His disciples, He says, it's to your advantage that I go away. For if I don't go away, the Holy Spirit cannot come. And so that introduced us to the concept of the Holy Spirit, which is where we've been the last three Sundays. And what I would, so just to digress a minute, I would encourage you, if you miss one of those three sermons, I would encourage you to go to the church's website and listen to the sermon that you missed. Because those sermons work primarily in John chapter 14, John chapter 15 at the close of that chapter, and then John chapter 16. And those three chapters are really the foundational chapters, the teachings of God's Word about the Holy Spirit and about the power of the Holy Spirit, but more about the role of the Holy Spirit as the one who follows Christ and the one who is it's to our advantage that the Christ go away that so the Holy Spirit can come. And so I would encourage you to go listen to those sermons that you missed. And what we found out, just to sort of really summarize, we found out the Holy Spirit has three primary roles. The first role is described in John 15, verse 26, where the Scripture says that the Holy Spirit proceeds from the Father. You cannot separate the Spirit from His source. It's like you can't separate that light from what's shining on my face. You can't separate the two. You can't separate the Spirit from the Father, from the Son. They are connected. And the Spirit proceeds from the Father. But then we found also that the Scripture says that the first divine assignment of the Holy Spirit is to give testimony of Jesus Christ, to bear witness to Jesus Christ. That would be the what of Jesus Christ. What did Christ do? How did He do it? How, for example, is God's plan accomplished by what Christ did? So the Holy Spirit's role is to testify about Jesus Christ. And then the Holy Spirit's role is to glorify the Son. You know, we talked about worship. That when you glorify someone, you give them honor and you lift them up, you extol them. And so the role of the Holy Spirit is to exalt Jesus Christ, to lift Him up. And we talked about the fact that our culture does not extol Jesus Christ, does not exalt Jesus Christ, particularly, for example, when our culture denies the deity of Jesus Christ and calls Christ a good man, a prophet, and just one prophet among many. When our culture or another religion lowers Christ to be on the same plane as all other human beings, then Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit is not being accomplished because Jesus is not being lifted up. He's being brought low. So the second role was the role of glorifying the Son. And the third role of the Spirit is to bring the truth of the Word of God, is to bring the truth of the Word of God to His people, to an individual, so they know when they have sinned, when they know they've committed unbelief and the sin of unbelief, and they know that the Holy Spirit is the one that brings that message. And so then we're now at a place now today where, having learned what the role of the Holy Spirit is, we find in the book of Acts the demonstration or the evidence of how the Holy Spirit accomplished exactly what His divine assignment was in the Gospel of John. Okay? It's like, you know, someone might say, well, this is what I want you to do, but until you do it, you know, you haven't, you know, it's like learning never occurs until behavior changes. You heard that saying? Learning never occurs until behavior changes. You might tell me this is what this I'm supposed to do, and I say, yeah, I understand that, but if I don't follow that, I haven't really learned anything. Well, you know what the book of Acts is? The book of Acts is the account of the first century church that is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And so what we see in the book of Acts is we see, okay, how is the divine assignment that the Holy Spirit was given in the book of John, how was it put into place? What did the Holy Spirit do? Did the Holy Spirit do what the Father said the Holy Spirit was to do in the first century church? Now you say, well, you know, that's great, Pastor Kip, but that's the first century. What has that got to do with you and me? It's got everything. I mean, if the Holy Spirit has a role, and He has a divine assignment, and we also saw that the Holy Spirit accomplishes His role through you and me, okay? We are the instrument, okay? We are the instrument. It's like a glove, okay? If I had a glove on my hand, you with me? Oh, it's going to be good, I promise. You've got to stay with me now. It's going to be good. I promise it's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. It's good. If I had a glove on my hand, okay? Well, you know what? The glove doesn't do anything. The glove doesn't do anything. The glove is just on my hand. It's my hand that is the power and the source and everything that I do. It's really my hand that does it, not the glove. Well, you know what? You and I are like the glove. We're like the glove. And the Holy Spirit lives inside of you once you place your faith in Jesus Christ. That's what John's Gospel said, that the Holy Spirit is given to those who believe. Those who believe in Christ. It also says in the 15th chapter or 16th chapter, I'm not sure exactly what, I believe it's 14, actually. 14, it says that the world cannot receive the Spirit because it does not believe in Jesus. Okay? So we find that our faith in Jesus Christ has a fruit beyond eternal life. Our faith in Jesus Christ results in the literal, tangible, personal presence of God in a life. Okay? The Holy Spirit, again, think of it. The light hits my face. It's coming from the source. You cannot separate the light from its source. So the person of the Holy Spirit, who never, by the way, is referred to as an it, always referred to as a he, always a personal pronoun is used. The Holy Spirit is a literal person, and he is the literal person of God who indwells you and me. When you place your faith in Jesus Christ, from that moment on, the Holy Spirit, you have a touch. It's like you have a light point, a point that is literally emanating from the person of God with the Holy Spirit in you. Okay? So then we say, and then one other little point, the Holy Spirit, what we find in Scripture, he never glorifies himself. He never glorifies himself. He always glorifies the Son. Okay? So if we have an understanding of the Holy Spirit that glorifies the Spirit, we got the wrong understanding. Because what the Scripture says is the Holy Spirit is, he takes from Christ, he takes of Christ, and he gives it to you and me. Okay? Doesn't glorify himself. He glorifies the Son. Now, as a church, see, a church, we're here this morning, a lot of people in church today. Hallelujah. Right. I mean, the 9 o'clock surge is busting at the seams. This one's busting at the seams. That's a great, great thing. That's a hallelujah, praise the Lord. But, see, here's what we have to understand. We are Bethany Lane Baptist Church. Okay? And as we come together, we are individual members of this organization. We are individual participants in this organization. So, when we talk about the role of the Holy Spirit in the church, okay, the role of the Holy Spirit in the church means the role of the Holy Spirit in your life, every single person's life. If you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit lives. You with me? Come on now. Don't be going to sleep on me. Don't be going there. Don't be going. You know the game. I'll get you out here for the game. Oh, it's not till 4:15. We got a lot of time. Okay. So you stay with me. Stay with me. It's important. You gotta stay with me. Okay. I'm going someplace. So you just stay with me. Okay. So the Holy Spirit is in you. Is in me. And it's like what happened. The church is a summation of all of you of us. All of us. We are the summation of the person of God. Think about that. In this place, in this location, each one of us has a little small part of God. But if you take all those little small parts, we got a lot of God here. You see that? We got a lot of God in this room. So if we got a lot of God in this room, seems to me we need to make sure that what we are doing lines up with the role of the Holy Spirit of God. See? Because the Holy Spirit is God. And so what we got to do is, as a summation of this whole group that's gathered, how we participate with the Spirit of God and walk by the Spirit of God is we do what the Spirit of God has been sent to do. We together? So one person says, well, you know, Pastor Skip, that's fine, but I don't think I want to participate. You know what that does? Well, think about it. You know, if we're all heading in the same direction, we'll get there quicker, won't we? But let's suppose, you know, one person's headed this way, one person's going this way, one's going the other direction. You know what? It's pretty hard to move a whole group of people when we're going different directions. You follow that? Okay, see, it's like, but you can do that, see? That's the thing about the Spirit. The Spirit, and it's powerful in the book of Acts. So powerful and so explicit in the book of Acts. In the book of Acts, the Spirit of God is, someone has said the Spirit is like a gentleman. He is a gentleman. He never forces himself upon anyone. And there are passages in the book of Acts when the Spirit of God is ready to fall on people. Okay, then I like that. I'm getting ahead of myself. Oh.
You know that, you realize that
That's what how the Holy Spirit is described in, I want to say it's the 10th chapter of Acts, and I hope I'll get there in a minute. But here, you know, the Holy Spirit is described as falling on a gathering of people. Now, you know what? Think about this. If you think of, this would be terrible. But what if that whole ceiling, well, I don't want to use that illustration. The light, okay, the light. If we turn that light on and off, the light falls on us. See, because it emanates from its source. Do you realize that in the book of Acts, where Cornelius, he has a gathering of people in his house, and the apostle Paul, Peter, rather, comes and talks to them about Jesus Christ. And all of a sudden, they become convicted of the truth of what Peter is saying. They become convicted. What that means is, it's like in the second chapter of Acts, where the people say, oh my goodness, now I see. Oh my goodness, I had that wrong. I see now. And you know, in the 10th chapter, what happens is when the people say, oh, I see. The scripture says the Holy Spirit falls on them. He falls. Why does he fall? He falls based on the condition of the human heart in terms of its receptivity to the truth of God. That's why we talk about freedom in the Spirit and the ability and you have to be willing to receive more of the Spirit. You talk about okay, let's just get going here. Okay, let me show you some things. Look at Acts chapter 1. You know, how can I tell you all this stuff and I'm not giving you a single verse of Scripture? That is not the way I'm supposed to do it. Okay, look at chapter 1. I want to show you something first. Okay, you know, here's what the Scripture says about
the Holy Spirit. The first thing the Scripture says about the Holy Spirit is that the church, the
120 people who were the only ones that were gathered after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there were 120 believers gathered in this one little small room, and the Scripture says that Jesus said something to them. He told them something on the day that he was to leave this earth.
The day that he left this earth and ascended to the Father is described in the opening chapter of Acts. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. Listen to what happens. And gathering them together, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for what the Father had promised. Look at that. He says, don't leave. You know, think about it. Jesus has now he's died on the cross, he's been resurrected, and he's given the disciples the great commission. That takes place also at this point. And then what he tells the disciples is, hey guys, now this is what I want you to do. I want you to wait. I want you to wait. I want you to do a single thing. Okay? Now think about it. Christ has died. He's resurrected from the grave. And they know that he's the Son of God. And you would think at this point what would happen is Jesus would say, okay guys, on your mark, get ready, set, go. Go tell the world about me. Boom! You think that's what he says. But he doesn't. He says, I want you to wait until you receive the Holy Spirit. Does that not communicate to you the importance of the Holy Spirit in the life of a believer? Because Jesus says, I don't want you to get going yet. You know, it's important that you save the world. It's important that you tell the lost about me. It's very, you know, and then he says, but I don't want you to go yet. You gotta wait. Well, man, you're telling me to wait, Lord, then it must be something very important that I'm supposed to wait for. And it is. It's a person of the Holy Spirit. And see, we don't have an understanding of the importance of the Holy Spirit. How is it possible? For example, I've been talking to you about opening your mouth. Okay? I've been talking about to you the importance of opening your mouth. What do I mean when I say I want you to open your mouth? To open your mouth is simply the intention in your heart that you yield to, that you, when God gives you an opportunity, you're going to nudge in just a little bit about Jesus Christ. Okay? It's not like you got to have a 4-point sermon. It has nothing to do with that. It is that you choose to mention something about Jesus Christ. I'm giving you silly little illustrations like being in the elevator.
Everybody looking up in the sky. You know, I don't know, everybody, you know how we do on the elevator. I've given you illustrations about just making some little comment about God in the elevator. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Open your mouth. Okay?
If you don't have an understanding of the power of the Holy Spirit, you know what you'll do? You say, well, you know what? I'm afraid I'm going to say the wrong thing. I don't have that gift. You know, Pastor Skip, you can speak for the Lord and this, that, and the other. You know, that's something you can do. There ain't nothing I can do. No. Got that all wrong. See? Because you're looking, you're evaluating and making that decision based on your own human skills and talents. Apart from Jesus Christ and the presence and power of His Holy Spirit, you can do absolutely nothing. And in fact, you know what? God would let, if I was, okay.
This is one of those days, it's like it's every Sunday though, isn't it? You know, I got my whole head filled with this stuff. I just went, okay. You know,
if you understand the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll be completely free to say at will what about Jesus Christ. You will be completely in freedom. Okay? Now,
have you noticed something about the church staff? I used this illustration in the earlier service. I want to give it again because I want to show you what I'm talking about. Okay. Have you noticed members of the staff, particularly the ladies who on the church staff, we got a powerful church staff. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying.
Have you noticed that the ladies on our church staff are sharing more frequently and for longer periods of time something about Christ when they stand up?
Did you notice Sherry this morning? You notice how she shares? You know how long Rachel's supposed to have for a children's sermon? 3 minutes. You ever heard Rachel do a children's sermon in 3 minutes?
Well, you know, here's what I could say. I say, Rachel, you know what? We only got 3 minutes. I don't want you taking more 3 minutes. I don't care what you have to say, Rachel. You only got 3 minutes. That's it. Or I could say this. I could say Dennis. I could say Rachel. I could say Drew. I can say Kate. I say, here's what I want you to do. Every opportunity you get and a microphone is in your hand, it is my direction to you to open your mouth. What does that mean? Be intentional that when you have the opportunity to say something about Jesus, you just do it. Do you have to have it all planned out? You know what? I've got a little bit of an outline here, but I don't half remember. Don't know what it says half the time. You know, but I have some. That doesn't mean I'm telling them not to be prepared. But what I'm saying is, you know what? Open your mouth. Make it your intention to rely on the Holy Spirit to give you what to say.
You say, well, Pastor Skip, I'm the kind of person that, I was talking to somebody the other day, said, I don't have the gift of gab. They said, I'm not the kind of person that I'm a nonverbal communicator. You know what? You can be a nonverbal communicator if you want to, but don't let that be an excuse for you to open your mouth about the Spirit of God, about Jesus Christ. Because if you are, you know what you're doing?
Yeah, this morning, earlier in the 9 o'clock service, you know how we do the welcome?
We do the welcome, and I tell you, okay, it's time to go back to your seat.
Well, Kevin was back there in the back. He was talking to somebody, okay? And see, my microphone is muted when I'm not talking, okay? There's a button back there that he pushes. And if that button is pushed down and the red light's on, that means it doesn't make a difference what I'm saying. Kevin, push the mute button. Let me show you. See, it doesn't make any difference what I'm saying. If that mute... Put it back on now. Okay, well, here's what happened at 9 o'clock service. Kevin was back there. He's talking to somebody. He didn't see me up here getting ready to speak. And I'm just standing here for about 3 or 4 or 5 minutes. I'm saying, Kevin, unmute my mic. You know, I'm doing all this, but I can't get Kevin to look up here and see me that I'm ready to speak. You know what? When the Spirit, if you have an understanding that you are somehow, you are spiritually disabled, you're spiritually disabled because you are not the kind of person who talks very much or whatever the reason might be. You think that, okay, well, you know, I'm a nobody, so who's going to listen to me? You know what you've just done? You put the mute button on the Spirit of God. And the only way you unmute it is you have a proper understanding of who the Holy Spirit of God is, where He resides in you, what His divine assignment is. And if His divine assignment is to give testimony about Jesus Christ, if His divine assignment is to give glory of Jesus Christ, if His divine assignment is to speak truth to the world, hey, you know what? Let's join the party. The party of God's kingdom. You know, the kingdom of heaven on earth. It's a person of the Holy Spirit who spreads the kingdom through the lives of believers. Okay, here we go. Acts 1 again. Here we go. He tells them, I want you to wait. Some of us are still waiting. Well, it's not time to wait now. It's time to hit the mute button and unmute. Okay? He says, verse 4, but to wait for what the Father had promised, which He said, you heard of from Me. Jesus told them, the promise of the Father was the coming of the Holy Spirit. If your life is not being lived in an honest and understandable and active way of who and what the Holy Spirit does and says, hey, something wrong with that picture. Something wrong with that picture. We together with that. Now, I'm not trying to make you feel guilty. See, the Holy Spirit's role is not to make you feel guilty. It's not my role. Sometimes I do that and I don't mean to, but the role of the Spirit is not to make us feel guilty. The role of the Spirit is to reveal truth. And I say, oh, I see. Whoa, I see that now. And now, you see, the role of the Spirit is I turn. I say, okay, you know what? I'm going to try this. You want to try? You know, tomorrow, you go to work. I'll make you a promise. I'll make you a promise. If today you yield to the Spirit, meaning you say, okay, God, I got it. I'm going to turn it around. I'm going to do the other. You know what? Here's what will happen. He'll bring you divine appointments. I promise you. Here's what a divine appointment is. Divine appointment is somebody's going to cross your pathway. Maybe they're sick. Maybe they're ill. Maybe they're going through divorce. They're going to say that to you. Right now is your divine appointment. You say, hey, can I pray for you? Well, I never did that before. Oh, excuse me. No, you say, hey, can I pray for you? You know, somebody's in a hospital. Can I come by? Can I help you with the kids? You understand what I'm saying? That was to open your mouth is the intention. It is the act. It's the intention of the will. It's the change of the heart so that I'm going to line up with Jesus. I'm going to line up with Jesus with my mouth first. And my life, having learned that, is going to be a reflection of what I've already understood. You say, well, you want the power? You want the power? See, see, the Holy Spirit is a power. He's a power of God in a life to follow Jesus Christ. God gives us a power. Look again. Verse 5. Jesus says, which He said, you heard of from Me, for John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Now, verse number 8. Then Jesus says, but you shall receive power. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be My witnesses both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth. Okay? You shall receive power. What does that mean? That means, you know what? If by an act of your will, you choose right now today that you're going to let the Holy Spirit be the person of God in your life and in your heart, and you're going to make it the desire of your heart to open your mouth, the power of the Spirit will be released in your heart when you do that. That's what that means. Take a stack of cards out there for the Christmas package. Take a stack of cards and hand them out to somebody. Well, somebody might get offended. Whoa, yeah, well, excuse me. Hey, you know, hey, you think that Jesus Christ didn't offend people? The gospel is offensive to some people. Does that mean I'm not supposed to? Is that supposed to put the silence button on the Spirit of God because someone might be offended?
Now, don't misunderstand. We got wisdom. We do things with wisdom, and we do things with compassion and understanding, but we don't put the mute button on the Spirit of God. Now, notice something. I want you to see. The first thing is that the Holy Spirit is so powerful that God, Christ said, wait for Him. The next thing I want you to understand is what I've already said, is that every single one of us, when you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, you will receive the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 2. I want you to look at verse 38. This is after Pentecost. 50 days after this event, the Holy Spirit is given to the disciples. The whole crowd of people are present. And what happens is the Spirit is given and everybody speaks in tongues. Now, just very briefly, let me just help you understand what that means. When these disciples received the gift of speaking in tongues, they were surrounded by people who were not from the same location that they were. We have any people in here not from America, if you raise your hand. Okay? Back there, there's Olga. Back in the back, we got Raja. Okay, Raja, what country are you from? India. Can you speak English? You can. And do you speak Indian? Okay, he said yes. Okay, suppose I start talking to Raja in India. Indian. What's the name of that language? Indian. Hindu. No. Indian. Indy. Suppose I started talking to Roger right now in Hindi. I don't know that language. That's what happened in the second chapter of Acts. There were people all around the disciples who could speak Aramaic, the language of that day. But they were also from foreign countries because they were there for Pentecost. Okay? And for Passover. I've forgotten what it was. I'm sorry. But they were all there together in Jerusalem. Okay? They were all there and they were from different countries. And what happens is the Spirit causes the disciples to be able to speak those foreign languages. Why were they given the ability to speak the foreign language? To tell them about Jesus. See, that is totally different from the gift of tongues that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 14. Totally different. Totally different. Interesting. In Acts 2, the gift of the Spirit is given for the purpose of testifying about Jesus Christ. So you're worried because you're nonverbal. You think the disciples would call themselves nonverbal relative to foreigners around them that day? Yet what? That didn't hinder them from speaking. That's my point. See, my point is, we have to understand the power of the Holy Spirit lives inside of us. That's what Acts 8 says. The power of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of me, who will give me what I need for the moment. The issue is not whether or not He will give me what I need for the moment. The issue is whether or not I will open my mouth. We together? We see that? See, now look at 38. Look at 38. This is at the close of that time, and Peter is telling the people about Jesus. And here's what happens in verse 38. And Peter said to them, repent. Because they say, well, what in the world's going on? What's happening that these men can all speak in our language? And so they come to the place of repentance. I was talking about a minute ago. And he says in 38, and Peter said to them, repent. Let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. There he's done it. He's just talking about the what of Jesus Christ. He's given testimony of Jesus Christ. You see what I was talking about? The role of the Holy Spirit. What's the first role? To give testimony about Jesus Christ. Okay? When I open my mouth, my ultimate objective and goal is to give testimony about the person of Jesus Christ. So, if the church of Jesus Christ, okay, I'm right here. Here I am, right here. Okay? If the Church of Jesus Christ loses an understanding of the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, loses an understanding of what it means for Jesus Christ to be the only begotten Son of God, not one among many prophets, not one among many good men, if the Church of Jesus Christ loses an understanding of the exclusivity of Jesus Christ, you know what will happen to the Holy Spirit? He will... He's gone. Because that's not His role. His role is to... Now, does that mean you've lost your salvation? No, I'm not talking about that. In fact, all through the book of Acts, it talks about the filling up of the Holy Spirit. It's talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. Okay? So if you lose a sense of who Christ is, then how am I going to ever be filled with the Spirit of God when the Spirit's role is to give testimony of Jesus Christ? And what I've done is I've taken the testimony of the world about who Christ is rather than the testimony of the Word about who Christ is. And that's who what I follow, the testimony of the world. Does that make sense? Okay, so here's what he says. Repent and let each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Then he says, for the promise is for you and your children. Who is it for? Your children too? You mean to tell me that youth are supposed to have a sense of praise of God in their hearts and minds when they worship? Oh, wait a minute. I thought youth, you know, that's not very cool. Oh, you mean to tell me that youth ought to be... You mean to tell me that children ought to be doing that? You know, let me ask you a question. I can't go down this path today. I don't have time. You know what? You know what blesses me probably more than anything when I'm in here worshiping? It's to see a little heart praising the Lord. And you know what that tells me? That tells me that that little heart, that little child, is looking at mom and dad, looking at all the people in this place, and that child is modeling what they and how they worship God. The influence that you and I have over our children by the way we worship. Remember, my daddy taught me how to throw a football. I still throw it today the way my daddy told me. Why is that? Because he influences me. I'm 59 and never going above that. But you know what? I'm going to always throw football the way my daddy taught me. Why is that? Because he matters to me. He matters to me. He matters. So when you worship, do you testify about Christ? When we were up here, you know what? Testifying about Christ. Glorifying Jesus. You know what, Lord? Give me more words to glorify the Son. Give me more words. Give me more phrases. Give me more, God. Give it to me. Give me more. That's what the heart... You want to experience a filling up of the Spirit? Make it your heart's desire to find the words, to find the emotion, to find something inside that will praise Him higher. Well, preacher, what do you want me just to, you just want me to feel God? Yeah, I do. Yeah, I do. Uh-huh. I do. I do. You know what? If I put my hand on this chair and I had a hammer, and I crushed it on my finger, I'd feel it. And I'd know this was a hammer in this other hand. You know what happens to people? They never feel God. Never feel Him. So I wonder if He exists. You say, well, you're telling me that God's all experience? Absolutely not. But He is experience. I can't know God apart from truth. I can't know God apart from the Son. But when I experience the Holy Spirit, I experience the God. I experience God. Now let me, you know what? I've been a believer since I was in nursery in Orangeburg, South Carolina. First Baptist Church of Orangeburg, South Carolina. I was born a believer. Not really. But that's the way it is down there. You are born and you go into the church. It's a part of what we do in the South. Okay? And that's a good thing. Okay? It's a good thing. But the problem is that we are so in the church, we sometimes can misunderstand the Holy Spirit and what it means to be filled up with the Spirit, so that I'm giving testimony, so that I'm glorifying the Son, so that I'm speaking the truth, hearing the truth. We sometimes get out of whack. You realize that until 10 years ago or so, I don't know when it first happened, that the
I had not experienced the regular and consistent presence of God's Holy Spirit. Does that mean I wasn't born again? Absolutely not. I was born again long time ago, not as a nursery kid, but in the junior and high school at an FCA camp. That's when I was born again. But experiencing the filling up of the Holy Spirit. Yeah, until I came to a point where I said, you know what? I'm missing something. And I decided that so far as I was concerned, I was going to open my heart up to God in ways I never opened it. I'm telling you, you can experience, you can feel the presence of God's Spirit. And where I was going down that pathway is that we want our children to also. Oh, goodness gracious. You know, let's see where we're going to finish up here. Let me show you something. Look at chapter 4. See, at this point, Peter's got a decision to make. Peter's got a decision to make. The Spirit has been poured out on him in the second chapter of Acts. And you know what the Spirit of God did when the Spirit was poured out on Simon Peter? You know what he did? He opened his mouth. Go look at the sermon. Oh, I don't have time. Go read that chapter. Look at what happened to Simon Peter when the Spirit was poured forth on him. Because you see, he could have done this. He could have said, you know what? These guys really don't want to hear this. These guys really don't want to hear this. And so I'm just going to keep it to myself. That's what he could have said. But he didn't. A couple of days later, it's now the fourth chapter of Acts. You know what happened? Simon Peter and John, they're going to the temple, and they're going into the beautiful gate. They're going into the beautiful gate, which is the gate going into the temple. And there's a man who's lame, who's sitting on the side of the road, and he's begging. Right in front of the gate, he's begging. Okay? And he's begging, and he says, you have any silver or gold? You remember what Simon Peter says? He says, silver or gold I have not, none. But what I do have, I give to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Walk. In the name of Jesus Christ. He said, oh, I don't have time to get there. He says, in the name of Jesus, take up your pallet, walk. Or those just like, in the name of Jesus, walk. And a man walks. Walks. And so what happens is the man goes into the temple and rulers and this big fuss and commotion because this man's been healed. Everybody wants to know how come he got healed. It's just almost identical to what happened with Jesus Christ. And so the rulers and the elders call for Simon Peter and John to come before them. These are the same men who put Jesus Christ on the cross. Now tell me something. Do you think that it is likely that Simon Peter and John would be filled with fear? Standing in front of these men who were the men that put Jesus on the cross. Absolutely. It's just like you and me. We're human beings. It was likely that they would be filled with fear. But let me show you what they were filled up with. Not fear. Something else. Verse 8 of chapter 4. Then Peter, filled with the happies. Nope. Not filled with the happies. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not talking about being filled with the happies. When I'm filled with the Spirit, I am happy. But that's not what I'm filled with. Okay? He says, then Simon Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, the tangible presence of God, the tangible person of God, said to them, rulers and elders of the people, if we are on trial today for a benefit done to a sick man as to how this man has been made well, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ, look at that, by the name of Jesus Christ,
by the name of Jesus Christ, because see, there's power in the phrase. Got to understand something. There was power in the phrase, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, there is power. If you look at the fifth chapter of James, the passage talks about healing. It says that if you gather your elders together and pray for the one who is sick in the name of Jesus, there's power in the name of Jesus. It says, let it be known to all of you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus, notice what Simon Peter says, when someone is filled with the Holy Spirit, they're going to testify about Jesus Christ. By the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, whom you crucified. Not somebody else, guys. You. He says, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands here before you in good health. You crucified him. You think that's truth? You think those guys wanted to hear that? Simon Peter wasn't telling them what he wanted to hear. He was telling them the truth. He is the stone which was rejected by you, the builders, but which became the very cornerstone. And listen to what he says. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men or will be given to men. No other name. There ain't no Joseph Smith added on here. No other name by which has been given unto heaven, that has been given among men, by which we must be saved. He speaks truth. He glorifies Christ. He gives testimony of Christ. He does all of that right there. Why then would we not expect the Holy Spirit to fill him up? Because that is the power of God that is given to us, not to have the feel goods, not so that we won't be depressed, not so that we won't be anxious. No, it is a specific fuel given for a specific purpose to advance the kingdom of God. Now, let me show you what these guys do, if I can find it. Okay, look at 13, it's right there. Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, look at that, that's beautiful. It's exactly what I've been telling us. They marveled. They were marveling and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Untrained, uneducated, don't have the gift of gab, don't know what to say or how to say it or when to say it, but all they're doing is opening their mouth. And the men around them look and say, whoa, they've been with Jesus. Now you would think that at this point, the men who look and see that a miracle has been done and these men have been with Jesus, you would think they would say the same thing as the people did in the preceding chapter 2, where the people said, oh my God, what have we done? What, you know? And that's when Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. You know what the men do? Look at verse 16. What shall we do with these men? For the fact that a noteworthy miracle has taken place through them is apparent to all who live in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. They see it with their eyes. A miracle has taken place by the hand of God. Verse 17, but in order that it may not spread any further, in order that it may not spread any further among the people, let us warn them to speak no more to any man in this name. What is my point? You know what? When you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you speak and testify and glorify Jesus Christ, here's what happens. The person who hears what you are saying has a choice. They can respond to the Holy Spirit. or they can say, you know what? We got to do something to make sure this person is shut up and out. Because the Holy Spirit is not a bully. If someone doesn't want to be filled up with the Holy Spirit, you won't be. If someone doesn't want to know Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, they won't know Him. That's what happens here. They see what God has done. They see the power of the Holy Spirit in these men. They hear what Christ has, they understand that Christ has done this miracle. And what do they say? You know what? We got to shut them up. And so what they do, Peter and John, here's what God wants our response to be. But Peter and John, verse 19, answered and said to them, whether it is right in the sight of God to give heed to you rather than to God. In other words, to listen to you and be quiet. You be the judge, for we cannot stop speaking what we have seen and heard. It's just like we heard the testimony a couple of weeks ago from, what was it, from Jimmy Younger. He says, somebody was persistent. Kept talking to me about coming to church, coming to church, coming to church. And finally, just to make them be quiet, I came. And in the process, received Jesus Christ as his Savior. You know, people can, they can say no, but we're still persistent because the Spirit of God has filled us up. We testify and glorify and give praise to Jesus Christ and speak the truth of God. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for the privilege, the absolute privilege of speaking and joining the Holy Spirit in what He wants to say to those who are gathered here today. So much, Father, still to cover, so much for us to understand about the person of the Holy Spirit. But you are so faithful and you reveal truth to us, Father. And I pray that our hearts and minds would be open to what you are telling us about the person of the Holy Spirit, who is your person, who is your instrument, God, to transform the world, to claim it for the kingdom of your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, whom you tell us that at his name every knee shall bow one day, Father. And so I pray in Jesus' name that we'd hear you. We'd open our mouths. That we might be filled up, O God, with the power of the only begotten one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our musicians are going to come now and lead us in a hymn of response, and I will be here in the front of the church.